And we're learning more about what Presidents Trump and Putin discussed at their first face-to-face meeting today at the G20 summit in Hamburg. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, who was in that meeting, says Trump and the Russian president had a robust and lengthy exchange about Russian interference in the U.S. elections.
The president pressed President Putin on more than one occasion regarding Russian involvement. President Putin denied such involvement. As I think he has in the past. The two leaders agreed, though, that this is a substantial hindrance in the ability of us to move the Russian-U.S. relationship forward, and agreed to exchange further work regarding commitments of non-interference.
So lots to talk about for our Friday Politics Roundtable. Joining us, Beth Fooey, Senior Politics Editor at NBC News and MSNBC. Hi, Beth.
Hello.
And Jesse Holland, who covers politics for the Associated Press. Hello, Jesse.
How you doing?
So Presidents Putin and Trump were supposed to meet for about 35 minutes. Instead, the meeting lasted 2 hours, 16 minutes precisely, which may say a lot about what they were talking about. But we wonder how much actually came out of the meeting. Beth, what's your take right now based on what you're hearing?
Well, we're already seeing a bit of disagreement between the American readout of that meeting and the Russian readout of that meeting. You just played that piece of sound from Secretary of State Tillerson saying that President Trump brought up Russian interference in the 2016 election and that Putin denied that that the Russian government had engaged in any. So that's what the Americans are saying. What the Russian foreign minister is telling in his readout is saying is that President Trump accepted the conclusion that Russia did not interfere. And the American government's pushing back on that quite a bit. They are saying that is absolutely not what President Trump accepted, or that is not an accurate statement about what President Trump said or how he perceived the meeting. So there you go. That's not particularly surprising that they would have a bit of a disagreement there.
Jesse,
I think the bigger issue just to finish up real quick, I think the bigger issue now is what President Trump says about this meeting when we get a chance to speak with him. I mean, he until yesterday was casting doubts on whether Russia had in fact even done this. So if he brought it up with Putin, that's a significant step forward.
Yeah, there was just a handful of people in the room, Rex Tillerson, one of them, Sergey Lavrov, another. One of the reasons they did it that way is because they wanted to make sure that they had a message that was cohesive. Jesse, what does it mean that the fact that the Russians are saying that Trump had accepted statements from Putin that Russia had not hacked the election? What does that mean for the president?
Well, that means that this conversation about Russian meddling in the election isn't going away, because even with so few people in the room, they can't even agree about what they talked about. Or you have a second conclusion you can make from this. Maybe Russia is still meddling with American democracy by trying to throw some confusion to what was said between Putin and Trump. This could be read so many different ways, but the final conclusion of coming out of this meeting is going to have to be this is still going to require investigation, because no one can be assured what happened, even at this meeting.
Right. There is no agreement exactly on what happened. In fact, this is what President Trump said yesterday about the accusations of Russian meddling in the U.S. election.
I think it was Russia, but I think it was probably other people and or countries. And I see nothing wrong with that statement. Nobody really knows. Nobody really knows for sure.
So just briefly, Beth, what can we conclude about what Donald Trump actually believes happened with the election? Because that has a huge bearing on what he and Putin talked about today.
Well, who knows what he believes, really. But Rex Tillerson in his readout said that the way Trump presented it to Putin was to say this is an issue of grave concern for the American people, which was the right way to present it, because ultimately it's really not about Trump and what Trump thinks and what he believes. It's about making sure for the American people that this does not happen again and that the election system can be safeguarded against any future meddling.
One of the topics of agreement that the leaders came to today was that they would start a working group on cybersecurity. I think this will be interesting to see what exactly that means, Jesse, and how that will be interpreted here back at home. A lot of people would probably say, how in the world could you trust the Russians with that?
Right. I mean, it's going to be hard for Congress or for the American public to accept the fact that we're now going to trust Russia to help America, help the world on cybersecurity, right after our intelligence services say, hey, Russia's the people who are doing the hacking. It's hard to see how this is going to be considered to be a well-meaning effort by Russia to help on cybersecurity when our intelligence services are the ones that say that Russia is the one responsible for hacking into the U.S. election.
Beth, what do you think about that?
Well, it seems to me that they're just trying to make a positive face on the notion that Trump and Putin have established some sort of working relationship today and can move forward on a variety of issues. But I would agree with Jesse, the notion that there will be a joint task force between the U.S. and Russia on cybersecurity is very doubtful. There's just no trust there, and nor should there be. They would be better – their time would be better spent working on things together that they really do need to do together, like the war in Syria. There was a discussion apparently. Apparently, there is going to be a ceasefire announced that the U.S. and Russia helped to broker in Syria. And that is a better use of the two countries' time and diplomatic efforts.
Let's actually hear Rex Tillerson talk about that.
A ceasefire has been entered into, and I think this is our first indication of the U.S. and Russia being able to work together in Syria. And as a result of that, we had a very lengthy discussion regarding other areas in Syria that we can continue to work together on to de-escalate the areas and the violence once we defeat ISIS, and to work together towards a political process that will secure the future of the Syrian people.
Jesse, I know some reporting still needs to be done, the details exactly of what that ceasefire means, but it would be significant, wouldn't it?
Definitely, because this is an area where the United States and Russia have a vested interest in both making sure that the Syria doesn't devolve any further. This is actually a position, an agreement that the Trump administration can trumpet when they come home, that they actually accomplish something on this foreign trip. So you can expect to hear more and more about this. But unfortunately, the Russia hacking on the election takes. We'll take all the air out of the room of anything they say. But this was actually a significant accomplishment by the Trump administration.
We'll see what happens with it. With North Korea, apparently there was nothing in particular that was decided, even though this is a huge and very pressing issue for both. I wonder if you can tell us if we can expect in any future meetings that something might come of this, given the kind of pressure that North Korea's missile launches are putting on the international community, not just these two countries.
Well, definitely. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Beth.
Just real quickly, we have not heard much about that in this G20 meeting. That's true. But President Trump has had the opportunity to meet with some of the leaders of Asian countries, including China. And perhaps there is some continued discussion that we will be apprised of later, because it is a seriously pressing issue for the entire world and not just from the United States. But as you say, Lisa, we have not heard much of a readout from this meeting.
And Beth, let's go back to the United States here in Washington. Congress back in session next week, a big item on that agenda, no, undoubtedly, will be the Republican Senate effort to get health care reform taken care of. What are you expecting next week?
Well, our reporting suggests that there will be no vote next week. If there's going to be a vote, it will be the following week, the week of July 17th. So next week is going to be a chance for Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, either to cobble together the votes he needs to get to 51 to pass the Senate Republican bill, or he's going to have to figure out another plan. Yesterday, back in Kentucky, he suggested that he may not get the votes and they may need to go to Plan B, which would mean working with Democrats on a new solution.
Jesse, I was wondering if that Plan B, McConnell saying that, was whether that was real, that he really would consider working with Democrats, or if he just wanted to say it to sort of instill some fear in his Republican members to get them in line.
And right, you also have to keep in mind that Democrats have already gone through the fact that the House pulled their bill and then came back and passed it after threatening to have to work with Democrats. So this might just be a ploy by Senate Majority Leader McConnell to try to get more of his Republicans behind his bill. But, you know, in the end, if they can't pass a Republican-only bill, they're going to have to work with Democrats, or they're going to have to face their own constituency at midterms and say we couldn't get anything done. The one time we're in charge of the House, the Senate, and the White House, we still couldn't get anything done. That's not a position they want to take into the midterms.
Very briefly, before we go, I wonder, since health care is going to be looming so large, when they get back to Congress. I wonder if, Jesse, you first, and then Beth, you can tell us, what are the issues that we won't be hearing about, but you wish we would be?
Well, especially right now, when you're looking at Congress, you're going to be hearing about nothing but health care. And you're going to be hearing about Russia hacking. The one thing that the Republicans really want to push through is tax cuts, but they haven't even had a chance to really talk about that. So that's one thing that we know that's on the back burner, that these two issues are in the way of, and that the Republicans want to push through.
Beth?
Yeah, infrastructure. That was supposed to be one of Trump's top priorities. Perhaps if he'd introduced it in the very beginning of his administration, he might have gotten somewhere. He might have picked up some Democratic votes. But that whole effort seems to be scuttled, and we may be dealing with pretty bad roads and bridges and airports and train stations for quite some time, because infrastructure is nowhere on the agenda at the moment.
Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC News and MSNBC, and Jesse Holland, who covers politics for the Associated Press. Never a dull moment, guys. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you both.